balance de siempre tenemos el portfolio con el dinero, acá tú ya no te tienes que tener,
Morning, I'm Ayanda Post. I'm from Committee and Committee Assistant.
Thank you. Now the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank the members of the Portfolio Committee for inviting the Makatieta Foundation to come and do a presentation today. And as I introduced my colleague, the CFO, we will be sharing this presentation. I will be leading and handing over to her at some point to finalize the financial details of the Makatieta Foundation. For the presentation, which was sent to members of the committee in advance, and I'm hoping that they had an opportunity to look at it, and we will be having a discussion at the end of our presentation. But before I present, I would like to apologize on behalf of the Chairperson of Council of the Makatieta Foundation, Dr. Sibiliso Mukone Matabane, who unfortunately could not be able to join us today, but she is in Namibia. The other members of Council were also not available, so they asked me to apologize on their behalf. To start with our presentation, the Makatieta Foundation is an institution that was established about 31 years ago. 31 years old. Last year we celebrated 8 years. In 2004, we had a new management team that was appointed. In 2005, we declared a cultural institution. And we come from a history where we had adverse opinion, positive opinion from 1994 to 2004. But since then, we have managed to turn it around in terms of corporate governance, like starting with the risk framework and internal audit in 2005, and audit in the same year. And in order to make sure that we invest in human resources in 2006, we started making sure that the staff development plan and also the policies and procedures manual was developed, because the auditor general always insist that in order for us to know what is happening with the organization, there should be proper procedures and processes. The slide that you are looking at is on the trends. If one looks at 2003, 2007, the number of productions, 2003 was 14, 2007 there's been growth 25% from 41,003 to 64,000. Quite a significant growth in terms of cash funds and audience. Because the benefit in ESR is about people coming to see what we do. No taking from 1 million rand in 2003 to 3 million rand in 2007. The MVW project expenses, I will elaborate later. MVW is one of the divisions of the foundation called the Market Photo Workshop. So the expenses from 300,000 moving up to 1.2 million. And that growth or that increase is due to the amount of work that we are doing now as compared to about 4 years ago. The lab project, the laboratory is also another division of the foundation. They have also grown in terms of their expenditure from 1.6 to 2.3 million. The production cost from 4.5 million to 11.6 million. The production theater and the production of the plays and all the expenses that are related to the production of plays. The staff of the Market Theater were 43, and now we've got 44 people. So we've maintained a nice balance. Things do change, but we didn't increase the staff expenditure in a significant way. Looking at the production of the theater as the flagship of the primary component of the Market Theatre Foundation. In terms of highlight, one would like to mention that we have won 8 Naledi Awards. Naledi Awards are theatre awards that are awarded to theatres in different categories. And the Market Theatre has always been the dominant as far as those awards are concerned. The show that has been produced, 17 of those shows that have produced 2006, 23 of those shows belong to the Market Theatre. In terms of production, some of the productions are rentals, some of them are co-productions. So in the total, some of them are produced internally by the Market Theatre because it is a product of producing house. Yeah, instead of 64,000 people, patrons visited the theatres, of which 46,500 bought tickets. Occupancy increased from 49% in 2006 to 60% in 2007. Our publicist won the Arts and Culture Trust Publicist of the Year Award. That's just one of the top stars of one of our plays that won our award in the United States Award. The Market Theatre Laboratory is the training wing of the foundation that trains actors and designers and stage managers located in Newtown in the Market Theatre section. And as part of its program, it runs community theatre festivals. There's one community theatre festival in the middle of the year, and it's a festival which happens in October. So we just had it last week, there was the Zagala Festival. So we had 18 local groups and 20 groups from the provinces performed at the annual community theatre festival. 10 groups, 8 of which were from the other provinces, performed at the Zagala Festival. 18 students graduated from the drama school in December 2006. In addition to the main project for the Saturday classes, children's classes, the lab also was the three-resident project, and the writer's forum enabled those students to develop the standard of writing, especially script writing, in order to have the big hit or the shows that go nationally and internationally, one has to start investing in good writing. Broken Dream, one of the lab projects that has at the issue of SIDA, performed to 12,000 learners in 38 schools. The play and the Island and the Apple Box performed at 125 schools. This is a partnership, or was a partnership, with the Robben Island Museum. The Market Photo Workshop is the visual arts wing of the foundation. I'm also proud to say it was awarded the Arts and Culture Development Project Award last year. It also runs courses, the foundation course, and up to the main one, which is the PDC, a new course that takes a look at corporate documentary journalism in South Africa, or even in Southern Africa, because we also look at what happens in other countries on issues of photography and social change. 106 students trained in 6 new short courses, 44 students trained in photographic energies, 354 students trained in intensive outreach training in Limpopo and Gauteng. Invisible Women, one of the exhibitions, as the second recipient of the Edward Ruiz Mentorship, and the guy who received that award was Sabelo Mlangeni, and he was the curator of the exhibition. Back and Forth is another exhibition by TTT students, and that exhibition has continued to informal cross-border trade. The mission of the Market Theatre Foundation is to create an authentic South African cultural experience, which is committed to providing the highest level of artistic excellence in all aspects of the performing and visual arts, in the education and development of a diverse community of artists, audiences, and technicians for short. Quite a long mission, but we try to make sure that whatever we do, we are in line with our mission and our vision, which is about producing and providing a platform for a professional and performing and visual arts repertoire that is authentic and artistically excellent. Developing the next generation of South African artists, engaging, educating, and developing a diverse community through performing and visual arts. There's a lot of emphasis on development. As the foundation, we do have capacity constraints, as much as I have spoken about the successes. and the highlight in terms of our performance as an institution, we do have a constraint around issues of funding. I must acknowledge that we've got the funding from the Department of Agriculture that covers the overhead, the infrastructure, just to make sure that we've got the buildings and the staff and the maintenance. But when it comes to funding for the core business, one has to go out and raise that from the private sector, nationally and internationally, and so we still face the challenge. And at the same time, I must point out that also, I think in terms of the processes in other institutions, like the lottery, are actually jeopardizing our program, because in November last year, we were awarded an amount of money, an amount of 12 million, which we are still waiting for. And that's actually putting the program in jeopardy. Another challenge is the staff shortage and the skills level. I think that could be traced to the issue of the Matatiela Foundation, because for a long time it existed outside of the state structure. So there were the staff of the institution actually never had an opportunity to benefit from training the policy. So that's why we only started in 2005 with the skills audit. So in order for us to deliver and against our mandate and our objectives, we cannot do that if we staff who don't have the skills that we need. The other challenge is the capital work funding, which for the past 2 years we've been struggling to get capital work by sending applications to the relevant department. The uncertainty with regard to the premises is linked to the development or the regeneration of new counties. Those who come join the community are aware that at the moment new counties is going through the process of regeneration, and the market theater will be affected. So there's a lot of uncertainties around the buildings, and if such a thing happens, then the market theater will be in a building site, which might also affect our service delivery. I mean, people coming, sometimes people are very reluctant to come and see shows if the place is, let's say, a construction site. So, but the most important thing is that we still don't know when those things are going to happen. Otherwise, if we knew the plan long in advance, this is happening at this point in time, we must plan this way. So the uncertainty is actually affecting our long-term plan. The last bullet is about the issue of tax incentives for funders. I know it's always a contentious issue, but I think for the arts and arts institutions, we actually communicated that with the Minister of Arts and Culture to say, I think something needs to be done between him and the Minister of Finance and of facilitating tax incentives for those people who want to give to the arts, like it happens in other countries. Donations, we just a list of donors, so I won't go through them, but I think that the main ones actually giving substantial funding to the Market Data Foundation. As I said, we also rely heavily on private donor funding. The European Union, the Department of Arts and Culture, they are our mother body that actually controls us. According to the Cultural Institutions Act, the Gold Foundation, the Getty Images, get mainly funds before our shop because they are about photography. The National Lottery, they have funded us, I think, from 2002, and unfortunately, it's just the current funding that they have been struggling to reduce the funds, and as I said, it's actually beginning to affect our long-term planning. With the South African Culture Fund, that has been mainly the funding for the laboratory, and the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. And at the moment, I think the reason that we have been able to maintain in terms of our artistic program is because of the W.K. Kellogg Foundation and the Ford Foundation, because they gave us funds last year. Total staff complement of the Market Theatre Foundation is 47. 10 of those are managers, and the administration is taking up staff 37. And in order to align our practices and staff profile with the new dispensation, we are at the moment embarking on transformation programs, and we have just finalized our EE plan for 2007 to 2010. We are also working on the HR plan that will be completed this year. And as an organization, and the reason why we have been able to survive and be able to get an unqualified position is that we have gone through a process of risk management, risk identification, and also saying how do we mitigate those risks as an organization. But we have identified top five risks. There are things, I think, close to 20, but I think top five is insufficient funding, as I just said. The landscape of funding is very difficult because things have changed in the past. The market has been funding from all over the world, but I think, as we all know, the landscape has changed, things have changed now. So it's more and more difficult to get funding. And one of also the problems is that when it comes to South African corporates, they always they are always reluctant to give funding to development work because it doesn't have a ready audience. Unlike if one brings something from the West End or from Broadway, that already has an audience. But I think in keeping with our mission, we try to make sure that we invest in South African work, and that's why sometimes you go out there, but the corporate is safe. But well, what in terms of mileage and exposure and coverage, this work won't actually help us at all. So those are the challenges that we are facing. The insecure location, I've spoken about the issue of uncertainty, because we don't know what is going to happen and when the actual development are going to take place. The maintenance of funders is actually linked to the issue of the lottery that we activated in October. Fraud and corruption, that I think for an organization like the Market Data, there's a lot of cash moving around. Although we don't have any fraud and corruption cases at the moment, but we feel that something that we need to flag all the time and actually keep an eye, because there is always danger of such things happening. Especially in an art institution where people are not used to working or operating under strict structures and rules and operations, policies and procedures. So within the art community, policies and procedures are one of those sort of obstacles. So one actually needs to keep an eye on things like fraud and corruption, or making sure that you don't create an environment that makes these kinds of things okay. And one of the other of the risks that I must mention, having said that the senior management of the Master's Theatre Foundation was appointed in 2004, we are approaching a stage now where the contract will be up and there is the negotiating process, but we are all worried that, or all hoping that actually we will be able to continue work, because one has to make sure that whatever work that we have started to turn around does not actually get nullified in one day. We don't have the same vision, and that's why we are actually looking at the board implementing succession plans and in terms of the business continuity. That's to make sure that there is a proper system that you use for the transitional period. But at the end of the day, we might have achieved what we achieved, but the time to go will come. That's the names of the members of council, and they have been with the Market Data Foundation since August 2004. And actually, what happened is that I joined also at the same time as the council, so I've also been with the Market Data Foundation for 3 years. And those are the names of the members of council of the Market Data Foundation. And that's the audit committee, which consists of the independent not a member of council, he's not a member of staff, or he's an accountant, he's a competent person to be the committee of the market. And as far as our citizen office report, there were no matters in our management letter from the general. We had this report, and which we are very proud of, because we come from a history where we had their opinions and to actually coordinate with them now with that expressing an opinion, because they couldn't trust our accounting. And it's something that actually that is pleasing to be with people. For 3 years, you know, this is a major achievement in the World Cup, and we didn't have to impact it. I would like at this point to hand over to my colleague to the financial.
system in the
Malin is a colleague of Atala, a member of this committee, and coming from the Pope.
The Market Theatre has now been a growing concern for the last few years and has to be seen against a history of not being a growing concern for 10 years. Growing concerns often meaning that your liability exceeds your assets, and under normal circumstances, you know, the organisation would have to be liquidated. So we're very proud, and we always have that as the first thing that we have to look at is every single month, that we have enough cash to cover whatever liabilities we have. We also know in a wonderful position where we've got an accumulated surplus instead of production that we say there's huge risk. You never know when the production is going to attract audience. And lastly, we have now got cash on hand for at the year end of the year that we're looking at 10 million and the year before 7.9 million. So all in all, very glad to say a very healthy situation. And visually, if we look at the past 10 years, there's a graph showing the top line, which is total income, the purple line, which is the government grant, and here I think it is appropriate to say, since we've got our house in order, the Department of Arts and Culture has really come to the table, and we have had a significant increase in the contribution we get from them. And we, of course, only get that under the understanding that we will look after it properly, which we now definitely do. Then we're also responsible for getting our own donations for projects. The department looks after our overhead and all the projects, a project we call either an outreach from the photograph of the lab or a course from those two, or a production, or any theatre production. Those are our projects, and for those expenses, we go out and fundraise, and those funds also increase dramatically over the years. And then, of course, the bottom line, which is the brown line, reflects the surplus, which was fairly consistently negative and has now picked up very nicely. In 2004, there's quite a hiccup, and that's when we joined, and the department gave us a special injection, and that is why you see that hiccup surface as well as in the department's grant, which got actually just paid for the accumulated surface up to that point, which was in excess of 4 million rand, which was astronomical in our situation. Then we've got another picture there of capital and reserve, being the purple bar, and then cash in the maroon bar. And again, I think that reflects where we come from. Capital and reserves in the negative until 2003, and we've been able to build on that corrective action, both in management and then from the department side, and we've been able to build a very healthy organization. If we look at where we've come from, comparing against 2003, on the slide, we were negative 2 million, now positive 10 million. Fixed assets have grown from 4.8 million to 7.7, so we've been able to replace old lights, old sound equipment. The theaters are very well equipped at the moment. Cash fluctuation from almost nothing to 10 million. Total income, that is everything that we receive, from 18 million to 31 million. Accumulated surplus, as I said, from 4.9 million in deficit to 4.3 million positive. And then the net surplus for the year 2003 was 800,000, and for 2007, 1.8 million. Of course, our objective is always to break even. If we can put a little bit in the kitty for risk, we try and do that every year, although that is not the objective. Summary of the financial results, I just leave full sets of annual reports at the back where you'll get full detail of that. We've got income, excluding the government grant, of 16.8 million. A total expenditure over overheads as well as projects of 29 million. So there is a shortfall in 2007 of 12.6 million, which is then covered by the government grant of 14 million. Again, if I can just remind you, we've used the government grant not solely, but mainly for overheads, and we then go and fundraise for all the projects. Since in the last 3 years, we have been able to use a million or two of the government grant for projects as well. The balance sheet, or the statement of financial position, as we call it now, property, plant and equipment, 7.6 million. Loan trade receivables, we really work on a cash basis mainly, of 167,000, and then cash of 10 million, which gives us total assets of 17.9 million compared to 16 million in 2006. And then the liability and the equity side of the balance sheet. Capital donations, those are donations that we specifically receive to invest in fixed assets. So we capitalize those donations and buy the fixed asset, and then as we write the fixed asset off, we utilize the donation, which we'll see on the next slide. So we've got 5.6 million of that at the moment. The accumulated surplus of 4.3 million, which gives us a total capital in reserve of 10 million. And then unutilized subsidies or grants of 6 million. The biggest portion of that is an amount that we did receive from Public Works of 3.5 million to expand one of our theatres. But as Yvonne Singh explained, we have had such uncertainty about the whole development of Newtown that has not been we have not been able to spend that 3.5 million. So most of those unutilized grants consist of that one Public Works grant. Trade and other payables of 1.2 million provisions, total creditors of 7.9, which gives us equity and liabilities of 17.9 million. Statement of financial performance, this is merely to indicate the movement in the reserve, which, performance of the income statement. Operating income, which would include fees for courses as well as door income, 4.6 million. The government grants of 14.4 million. And then non-operating income, which would mainly be other donations that we go and fundraise for, 11 million, giving us the total income of 50 million. And the selling costs are mainly our project costs, of which about 11 million for production, 10 million would be for production, and the rest would be for the photo workshop and the lab for the development work. Personnel costs of 8 million, and then other administration expenses of 8 million, leaving a surplus before interest of 251,000. We then get the interest received of 598, giving us a surplus for the year of 1.8 million. Statement of changes, I referred to the capital donations earlier. As we write the assets off, we utilize the donations. And for the 2007 year, that was 804,000. We then also received additional capital donations of 457,000, and then the surplus to bring the total of all the reserves to 10 million rand. And then very glad to report that 2 days ago, the Department of Arts and Culture had a conference for all its public entities, and we were awarded the best audit report for public entities for the year, for 3 years in a row. So we were quite pleased. I think what remains is just to say thank you, and we'd like to report now that the Department of Arts and Culture really supports our organization in a big way. I just referred to the conference that we've had, which was very worthwhile, very informative, and we learned a lot. And we can express our appreciation for the support we can get from others.
Thank you very much for your presentation.
On the question of the board, I wanted to find out if you have a board, and if they tell you why are they here. And also the second question would be on the donations that you rely much on the donations. I wonder if maybe we have. I don't know if I'll be asking too much. I would like to know how much we get from donations, like for instance, in this current year. Thank you.
Thank you. I would also like to congratulate the Marvel Theatre on the way they deal with the finances. I study normally all the entities reports when we get them. There was just one thing, just on the presentation where you spoke on your top 5 risks, I saw that on here, but not on, on the new one. You had a lack of accountability to the CS somehow. But in your annual report on page 22, you actually state the contract and who the landlords are, like the GGMC, for example. And yet you talk of the regeneration of Newtown. I know the area quite well, too. I used to be a typical of But you then have quite a long contract. So can you just maybe explain to me the subject words around money? Are you saying that that area could be demolished with a new regeneration? And if so, would government not in fact then get more money or, you know, the balance on that? I'm not quite sure. And then also on that five premises, you actually referred to the city of Joburg at the last, but I'm sure that's also just great to go and isn't it? I think I'm sort of happy with the rest. The lottery is an issue. We made quite a big song and dance about it, but nothing's coming for.
Thank you, Chair. Also, I think the question is to really use the money. And my question is on page 13 on this book here. The column of the structure over. If you look at the retirement, you have one retirement. People resign 2007. But if you could elaborate further to explain, because after that you will get new appointments for Shara 13, how does it happen? Yeah. I'll ask other questions in another one. Thank you.
Also following the lead from the previous speaker, I think the general strategy worked for you. We help for you on that one. But in a few clarity areas, which perhaps might have been covered in your annual report. Your presentation talks about staff development plan, field audits, which is fine. But it doesn't talk about implementation, especially of the plan, and whether you are succeeding that plan or not. If you could just elaborate on that one. And also, the second one would be your mission. I might be ignorant of this one, but one would want to know how does it talk to social cohesion. I know your vision might be indicating to that direction, but your mission, how does it talk to that? Lastly, talk about staff shortage, and you've got a surplus. You talk about lack of skills. You have not identified those skills that you are short of. And if you have surplus, why do you still talk about staff shortage? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to follow on the one step of both of you. On the nature of the composition of the council, well, one would assume that composition might be influenced by the concept because it doesn't reflect the democratic of the country. And of course, within the whole context of social cohesion, as my colleague has just said, I
critical on that. Again, I see that you have less females and more males. The third one is the issue of accountability. I can't remember whether you said you have any problem when it comes to accountability. To me, which is a very key component of any government. And the one would have to have a kind of an elaboration on that in terms of the principles of governance.
Thank you, honorable members of the portfolio committee, for your question. I would like to now try to answer, and I will do the best of my ability. I hope I will be able to clarify whatever that needs to be clarified. The first one was the issue of disability. Yes, actually it was part of our strategic plan when we sat down with members of council to say as part of our plan, we need to include disabled people not only in terms of our staff, but also in terms of accessibility of the institution itself to patrons and also to members of staff. But at the moment, we are facing challenges because the building itself, the Market Theatre, wasn't built as a theatre, so we sometimes find that it doesn't have this and all of that. But we are hoping that if the Department of Public Works gives us money, part of the plan is actually to improve even the status of the building. But as far as our employment equity plan, employing staff, that is part of the plan to make sure that we don't only look at gender, but we also broaden our definition of employment. I must also say that some of the questions will be answered by my colleagues, but I'll just go through the ones that I will answer. The issue of council. Yes, we do have a council or a board, and as I said, when I started with my presentation, I did apologize on that. Yes, we are facing a situation where actually their term expired at the end of September, and they haven't received any letters to inform them whether changing or what is happening. And I think actually that's one of the problems that we are facing, because they haven't received letters from the minister indicating what is happening. When are we going to have a new board or a new council appointed? So because of that uncertainty, it was difficult. They were not sure in what capacity should they come here, because we are actually in the state of uncertainty and what is happening with council. So they are not here because they are actually not wanting to be here. They are not here because actually they were keen to be here, but some of them is because of the late notice that we received. But the chairperson was keen to come, but she is in Namibia at the moment. But another thing is exactly the timing of every moment. We haven't received any clarity as to what's going to be happening in the current council of the Market Theatre Foundation. Yes, my colleague will take the issue of donations and all of that. The lack of accountability, as far as our risk framework is concerned, we have done it for the past 3 years, and over the years we identify risks, and some of them fall away after a certain time that when we become confident that this risk has been taken care of. I think accountability was something that, because we are working in an art environment where sometimes you find that staff don't understand the principles or the basics of corporate governance, and things are happening, and you end up having maybe the CEO and the CFO being the only people who are actually the custodians of corporate governance and accountability. What you wanted to say was that actually it should be embedded into the institution as a whole. And then the only charges, and some people at the market, they only started hearing words like risk management and corporate governance. When we started, it was a language that was foreign. So that's why we are saying it's a risk that is there, that actually people do not understand the importance of accountability, which is key to even us receiving funds from donors, because if we always go to them and show them and allow reports with qualification, that means actually their money is at risk, so they won't be comfortable with giving us money. So we are flagging it as an issue that actually needs to be monitored on an ongoing basis. Okay, the building of space, I think because of the history of the market here, Tower it was established in 1976, there were arrangements with the city of Johannesburg. The actual building that houses the theater, it is not demolished, the building itself, but it's the development around that building, which includes the administration offices of the Market Theater Foundation, which I think about 4 years ago, because of the areas and the financial situation, the city had to take back that building and say, taking back our building and redevelop it on condition that you give up all your rights to it. But that was before our time. So there was, I think, the 2 million rand debt, and we had to give back that. So, but at the moment, there is negotiations going on between the Market Theatre Foundation, the City of Johannesburg around the donation of the land in which the theatre is situated, because the very important thing that we brought to our attention is difficult for them to give money to some to a site or to a building that they don't have control of. And in as much as we've got long-term leases, because of the experience of losing our administration building, we are saying we need more security now. Because they are also a long-term, long lease, and they are short many years ago that everything was fine. And suddenly, when things went tough for the market, CS and the building was taken away, just like that. So what we are negotiating now with the landlord, which is the city of Johannesburg, is more security for all the spaces or the entire operating environment of the Market Theatre Foundation. So if you look at the Market Theatre, even the parking space that is used by our patrons actually doesn't belong to us. So unlike the other public entities like the museums and theatres that sort of own or have ownership of the place in the public works, the Market Theatre is in a very excellent position. And that's why we are flagging the issue of uncertainty. The staff turnover and the new appointment, that is also linked to the history of the institution and the turnover, the turnaround strategy that we have implemented in terms of making sure that we've got a performance management system. What we would have achieved, what we have achieved if we never had performance management system. So what is happening is that the people who were there for many years, but actually not doing anything. So when we entered in 2004, we had to go through an exercise of checking that do we have the right people to be able to take us from point A to point B. And even now, sometimes, apart from the fact that it's natural for people to move, one doesn't want executive to you train people to give them skills and they stay there for long, because the public entities are naturally very small organizations, and there's not much room for upward mobility. And so some people will resign because they feel like when it's getting very tough and they're getting very sick when it comes to corporate governance and accountability. But others will move because they've found other opportunities, which I think is also good. So in the arts, actually one person said to me, no, the culture in the arts that is not good to move from one place to another. But even if a person is not doing anything, because in theatre it's just not nice, it's not acceptable for people to move. But I think having come from the museum's environment and come from outside, I personally myself, I just joined the Market Theatre, and I see the value of fresh blood being injected into the organization. So the task and over is due to sometimes change in the culture, and the other people just feel like, you know, can't stand this, we're used to living as artists and doing things the way we want. But now with all these controls and systems and procedures, you just can't take it. But others are just people just say, well, maybe there are other options. Yeah. As far as the staff development plans are concerned, there has been implementation since 2005, and I'm very proud to say that we are starting from a base where there was absolutely nothing when we started, and there was no structured program of training staff. So what we got now is the proper structured program in terms of identifying the necessary skills, and almost every staff member from the from ABET to the highest skills level, everyone goes through training on an annual basis. We sit down and identify skills as part of our strategic planning for the future, to say these are the kinds of skills we need. And for our production department, in order for us to deliver on our mandate, we need a manager, we need a production manager to change in this area. So this is actually linked to the whole HR plan of the organization, to say where do we come from. So as far as implementation is concerned, we are implementing, and it is working, because as I mentioned earlier, we are linking that with the performance management system. So there is no point in having a performance management system when actually people have not been given skills to be able to perform their job. So we are aligning those two and make sure that they run parallel. The mission statement, this is actually the new mission of the Makateta Foundation. It was finalized in 2005 by the Council of the Makateta Foundation. And actually, it's looking at the main emphasis is around development, and the fact that Makateta Foundation has invested in the development of South African theater, South African art. So I know that the issue of social planning is the issue that we're talking about in Kasha, I think I mean, the new DC, always emphasize that all our programs must talk to the program that we're talking about in Kasha. But I think in doing all of this, we actually do align from issues of poverty alleviation, issues of social development, issues of employment creation. All our work is actually informed by this issue. When elaborated, it actually does talk to the social priorities, because we try to make sure that what we do talks to the national priorities as identified by the president and also the program of the Department of Arts and Culture. But we actually at our workshop on Tuesday and Wednesday, it was identified that we need to do more work to make sure that there is alignment between the missions and vision, or the programs of action of the public entities and the program of action of the Department of Arts and Culture. My colleague will talk about the issue of surplus and staff skills shortage. I think the last one that I would like to take is the composition of council and the demographics. I think as far as that is concerned, the minister is the person who appoints members of council. So really, in as much as I can influence by submitting and doing everything, at the end of the day, it is prerogative to choose who to appoint and who not to appoint. So maybe that's the kind of question that should be posed to our honorable minister.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The question that I'd like to deal with is what caused the surplus and why did we have money that we were not spent? I think on one of the 10 slides we showed that the occupancy of the theatres increased to about 60%. For the last year. That is quite significant, because when we budget, we assume a 30% occupancy, as that is already quite progressive if we look at the past. And I'm sure, because we had our 30th birthday, the main reason for the increase for the surplus was increased income, and that could be own income and own donations. The that is the main reason for the unsustained budget. And then secondly, if one takes into account to stage a production in the main theatre, the cost of that production could be anything between $1.5 million and $3 million for the period that it runs. And therefore, and I write to Treasury once a year to say, you know, we do realize that they can ask for the money back and legally we have to repay it. But they have allowed us to hang on to our surplus simply for that risk. You know, if we have a big production that we lose the market incorrectly or whatever reason, you know, people don't come, it is a huge investment. And to have the little, although we do not have it as one part of our mission, to accumulate surpluses, it does help us tremendously. And I must say, this year, because we absolutely planned for the lottery money, we were supposed to at least get 6 of the 12 million for this year, we went back to our council and finance audit committee meeting and requested them, please, may we use some of the surplus money to carry on with production, because the donations that we sourced and were actually inviting comments to us, we have not received, and the council agreed. And we've allocated already 2 of that million to production, which we haven't had to use because of other donations coming, but that is our business. It is very risky, and we run a very, very tight ship, and therefore I hang on to accumulated surplus for the rainy days and the times that we don't really know, you know, whether we're going to have enough money. The same with the question as far as shortage of skills are concerned, and how is it possible if you have a surplus? We do have increased numbers of staff. If you look on that slide specifically, in 2003 we had 43 people, and one of the committee members rightly referred to the annual report where we increased from, I think, 37 to 44. After 2003, we had a big reduction in staff. We had to go through a period of retrenchment, and we're trying to build that staff up, hopefully with the right people and the right skills now. But, you know, to appoint a person is forever, you know. So our council, and this budget that I'm actually presenting next week, we have got an increase of for another 4 people. So every year we do increase a little bit, but you simply cannot, you know, grow the staff enormously because, you know, how do you get rid of people again? It's not a nice process to go through. So we try and limit the additional staff members, and even though we have a surplus, you know, one must be very careful not to overcommit, and then to go through the retrenchment is not nice. For any organization, you know, if you run into financial difficulty again. So we do increase and we do try and appoint different skills and more appropriate skills all the time, but it is a long-term process, I would say. As far as donations are concerned, I did not bring along, you know, a whole analysis of who we get this from, but by far our biggest donor is, of course, the National Lottery Fund. We did have, 3 years ago, an allocation from them of $12 million. We put in another application, and we did get a second allocation of $12 million, also for a 3-year period, which is the one we haven't received. But then, in the past year, specifically the Ford Foundation and the Kellogg Foundation, each came along with more than $2 million each. The European Union gave us in excess of $1 million. And then the Swedish South African partnership, we have been able to receive, you know, more than R1 million over years now from them. I know that might, well, will come to an end at the end of this year, but those are by far the biggest. And then there's lots of smaller donors and some of the commercial donors on that list would have been specifically, you know, for the 50th anniversary productions that we've had, and specific exposure for them at those sorts of events. But but the ones that are really supporting us with very little strings attached, especially the lottery reporting to the Department of Health and Health Care, Paul Foundation and Kellogg Foundation. I hope we've answered the questions, but we'll take more if you have.
Honorable Tonto, the second bite, and Honorable Masala, I also have my second bite.
Thank you, Sebastian. taking from your response, the last one, skills, what skills, that's nothing. At least we would want to be informed. If you say you are short of skills, what skills do you need that you don't have? If you translate those skills into warm bodies, how many warm bodies do you need? You can't just say we are short of staff. We need skilled staff. What skills do you need? Your skills are this. So you need to come clean on that one, so that you can understand. Thank you, sir.
Honorable
Matala.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that second time.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know what page is that, but it deals with the market laboratory that groups eight from provinces perform just the Lagara festival. I just wanted to check which provinces, and also it talks about the 18 students graduated from the drama schools in December 2006. I just want them to elaborate on that. The other thing, Chair, it relates to the council itself. That Professor Mida was granted the leave of absence. Because they advanced some reasons why. I think the last one here relates to their plan. Do they have a plan for FIFA Soccer World Cup for 2010 and beyond 2010? Basically, some of the questions were dealt with by my colleagues here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Still on the market laboratory. Like the follow-up question somehow. One would like to know what strategy you use to improve the rural community to achieve to perform on the other hand. Because time and again when we talk for all facilities we find that they are always in certain areas where our people are always facing disadvantage. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. Sorry, Chair, I said I don't have a question, but I found that there's something that I didn't ask. When we do our oversight, most of museums and theaters, they talk about, you know, not having, let's say, facility for disabled or people's disabilities in terms of them utilizing things. Well, if you look at page 22, page 22, your premises, they belong, majority of them belong to Greater Johannesburg Metropolitan Council. So do you think you managed to have a kind that the building is not yours? And who is responsible to make sure that, you know, people with disabilities will utilize your facility? Because when we visited Full Tracker, they said they're still waiting from the public works to do what kind of, you know, strategies are you going to use here, because if the province doesn't belong, most of the province don't belong to you.
Thank you. Honorable Honorable, nearly missed the train.
Yeah.
The second line.
Sorry, the media can come. It's just on the subsidy. You know, if you don't use it, it's going to fall away, I'm sure, or what arrangement is there? I also just noticed that it's not really relevant, but just out of interesting that the tickets, the patrons that visited, the numbers came down quite a bit. Maybe you can just explain, but I mean, you're kind of still healthy, although that happened, but just be interesting.
If I can say to you, MG, and financial sector, the CWO has instructed the DCOs to look at the practicability of the AGs insofar as the EEs are concerned. You won't understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to get to know what does EE mean. I mean, your abbreviations are just a little wrong.
You can start with the EE.
I don't
Thank you. If I could just try to clarify a few things that the members of the portfolio committee would like to know. I think as far as the skills issue is concerned, one can elaborate that we inherited an institution where there was very little management skill. And the reason for that is that most of the people have been there for a long time, and promotions that most cases happen just by default because somebody is there. So some people had to go through retraining so that they could actually understand even something as basic as understanding the PSMA and how it applies to public entities and what is actually management. So we have gone through the management development process program, but I think management is one skill that is needed. But we also had even to train our staff things like basic writing skills. Because some of them actually were there, but I know a theater is supposed to be a place where you know you've got people who are very skilled in writing and all of that, but unfortunately it wasn't the case when it comes to the staff who work there. So one needed to train staff in terms of writing. Because writing, especially when it comes to people who deal with the media really don't have time to edit what we and all those things. So they need people with skills in terms of communicating, and communication is through writing. And as I said, we have actually made sure that I think from the basic level of training like others to and all those things, we made sure that people get even the basic skill of knowing how to read and write. So those were the skills that we actually were in short of. But at the moment we are looking at appointing people on the marketing side, because as you know, theaters or institutions like us rely heavily on having some kind of a constant communication with its constituency or the people out there. And in order to do that, you need people with skills in media. So for a long time, the Market Theater Foundation did not have a marketing manager. So we are looking at appointing a director, who especially director level, who will be looking at marketing and fundraising and the whole issue of institutional development. Because fundraising is one of those skills that is very rare. And how do you develop and how do you set up a succession plan? Because at the moment, for the fundraiser, we've been there for a long time, but the time will come that actually she needs the Market Data Foundation. We'll actually have to replace her. So we are already putting in place a plan to set up a structure instead of relying on one person to raise funds, but set up a structure in order to ensure business continuity. But the critical area, as I said, when I said is the issue of management. That's why we are making sure that our managers are getting training, and some of the managers are actually going to be leaving next year and the year after. So we'll make sure that then we appoint people with management skills who understand actually what does it mean to manage, what is relationship management, and how does management, even at a smaller level in a department, how does it inform and how does it link to the overall objective and the attainment of an unqualified audit report of the institution? Yes. The issue of we're very tough when it comes to so the issue of the laboratory, which provinces people well, what actually happened is that the lab is a fieldwork program where they've got field workers that go all over the country identifying a skill from community theater groups or practitioners. So it's quite a long process, and the first part of that process on page 35 we do identify the like Free State, the Northern Cape, which is all over. And Limpopo. We've got groups from the Eastern Cape, and actually the group that opened the festival was from the Eastern Cape. So we've got groups that come from all over the country. The first leg of the program is the Community Theatre Festival, where you get those groups performing, and then out of that, then we select 10, that's called the Zwakala Festival, and the winner of the Zwakala Festival get a 3-week run in one of the theaters that we opened in Malaka Theater. And actually, for 2006, the group that won was from Zimbabwe. And they actually even had primary school kids, and we had to make arrangements for them to go to school in Johannesburg. And those 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds got a rare opportunity to perform on the Malaka Theater. So it's actually something that has a journey, and actually, after the Malaka Theater, some of the groups or the productions have actually had a life beyond just performing at the Market Theatre. And the drama school is the one of the main programs of the lab, which is where we train young actors, technicians, and stage managers for a period of 2 years. So this is that's why we call it the drama school, and for a period of 3 years, those people get training and they graduate after 3 years. That's why they graduate in 6 years, and the next group will graduate next year. And actually, it's a problem that we are trying to link it with next week in terms of funding, because at the moment, it's facing a serious problem of funding, because it used to be funded directly by the Swiss, by the Swiss, and now the Swiss has sort of revisited its own funding structure, so that has affected the drama school. But the drama school is one of the core functions of the laboratory. So if you were to visit the lab right now, there will be students sitting down there going through the acting classes. Professor Zek Temda, when he was appointed in 2004, he was still maybe spending 50% of his time in South Africa, but then later things changed. But as the organization, we felt that it's very strategic for us to have someone stationed or based overseas, because we do a lot of fundraising, international fundraising, and we need a person that could actually be able to enable us the kind of link with organization. So if there's something that needs to happen, we just send him an email or talk to him to say, please go and talk to that person. So that was the main reason why the council felt
let's grant him leave of absence because it's a strategic move on our side to have a person like him actually days of absence because the market theater has always had a good relationship with companies or embassies or governments in the province. So that was the main reason why Professor Dixon now was retained as a member of council. I know that also raised questions about accountability and corporate governance because he's not always there to participate in discussions. But council went through all those risks and he also felt comfortable with receiving, although he does receive all the information and he does participate. The technology now is so advanced that you can participate without actually being there. So he knows what is happening. He does give you that input as far as the decision making at the market theater foundation is concerned. The plans for the FIFA World Cup, I think that's a bigger question. But as far as our strategy for 2007 is concerned, council met with senior management and we identified the FIFA 2010 World Cup as one of our strategic objectives. So it is there and we are trying to see what is the department's plan. Because at the end of the day, whatever we do, we have to talk to what the department is doing. And I am participating in activities in Johannesburg and recently there was a 2010 FIFA conference in which unfortunately Asian culture was not represented as one of the strategic areas, and I did raise that with the department because they just said, oh, okay, you can just speak with the media. And I said, no, I'm not the media, I'm Asian culture. So I think it's something to be done at the departmental level. I know there are initiatives, but I don't think they're coordinated. But as the market theater, we are actually filtering in terms of our programs and show to say we must start actually aligning what we do with the FIFA 2010 World Cup. And that, unfortunately, it depends on whether we've got enough money to stage shows or actually to host some of their activities. Because you might find that maybe the only thing that survives at the time is music or any other cultural activities other than the drama that we need to emphasize on. But it's a strategic issue that we are trying to grapple with on an ongoing basis. Well, as far as the Market Theatre Laboratory and the Rural Project, I can say for both the lab and the photo workshop, there is an emphasis on rural communities, whether it's in Limpopo or Northern Cape or KwaZulu-Natal, where I come from. I've actually made sure that they go to the rural communities because there's always the tendency when we concentrate on urban areas that some of them are already over-resourced and even maybe only concentrating on how they. But I must also say that sometimes the issue of cost and resources do dictate, because if you go to the Northern Cape, Western Cape, there's cost attached as well as if we only concentrate on how things would be cheaper. But because of our mandate is to develop the whole of South Africa, we still try to get funds to go to those communities. So we cover not just the urban areas, but the whole of South Africa, including the rural areas. And then my last issue that I would like to talk about is the issue of disability and access. I think I did touch on it that because the theatre is, we are a tenant of the city of Johannesburg, and as part of the long-term plan was the installation of the lease or the making sure that the theatres are accessible. But with plans being uncertain at the moment, we actually also feel it's very, very bad, because why should disabled people not enjoy the benefits of a good quality art or theatre in South Africa? So I think it's a serious issue that we are hoping that maybe the Department of Public Works and the City of Johannesburg will actually do something about it, because it's actually unfair or it's just unethical or to actually only benefit those that can have that are able and say the disabled. Well, unfortunately, nothing we can do. I think there is something we can do. It's a matter of the City of Johannesburg. In as much as the City of Johannesburg owns the building, but we are responsible for those who that building us. So it's still our problem. In as much as the building is not ours, but also it's our problem. It's our challenge to make sure that people are not discriminated, people are not excluded from the enjoyment of good quality art.
I would like to just touch on the question of subsidy. You have to leave the room when I explain that I do apply to National Treasury on an annual basis not to repay the subsidy, and the main reason that I did is the high risk of every single production that's been put on trade. And you know, production could cost up to 3 million rand, and one doesn't know what one of them gets through the door. So we have been successful up to now in not paying with the information we have on to our surplus, and we have also been able to get approval from our council this year because of the late payment of the lottery to actually use 2 million of that surplus for production that we wouldn't have been able to stage as a result of the funding constraints. So it has come in already very handy, and exactly for the reasons that we've given National Treasury that we hang on to the surplus. So just if the lottery does not come through before the end of March, our financial or our accumulated surplus will halve this year. Secondly, you are correct when you refer to the specifically the number of tickets sold decreasing. And when I prepared the highlights, we looked at it in quite a bit of detail internally. There is a strange phenomenon that where in the past we produced almost all the productions, I think it was 23 out of the 25 in the previous year, yes, last year we only produced 17 of the 26. We then saw a phenomenon that the number of patrons dropped and specifically the number of paid tickets dropped. Yes, occupancy of the theatres increased to 60%. And it all boils down to the mix of what we presented. And also, I think, specifically because of the 50th anniversary celebrations, it was very high level. Two nights, you know, we were getting artists and these funding from a bank, and we would pay.
Yeah, maybe Chair for correction that we don't have people, we don't have disability people. We have people with disability. We don't have disabled people. We have people with disability. I'm talking on behalf of
not of
Sondo or Mr. Halon, the entire people of South Africa who are living with disability. So it was a point of correction, Chair, that in future all of us who are here, we use he's putting words into my mouth, Chair, that we respect people living with disability. We don't have to call them disabled people. So hold it out. The last question, Chair, it relates to drama schools. What support do you offer after these people have graduated from your drama school? I think that was the last one, Chair, from Matala. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think to add to what you have said, the first comment that people with disabilities are not supported, it means that they are somehow labeled. And when people careful. I mean, we learn everything. Yeah, the last follow-up question from Natasha.
Thank you. I think I did not explain what is meant by EPS, but I meant employment equity. So I've just remembered now that I actually forgot to answer that question. I apologize to the honorable member of the committee. As far as the drama school is concerned, we as the lab, there is actually a limit to what the lab can do, because I'm talking about actually a staff of about 4 people that take my theater laboratory. So after graduation, then there's a new intake and a new year starting for a new group. So, but we do have a connection with agents and not only as agents, but also with other theaters and make sure that people get references. But if you look at our annual report, there is actually a section which talks about where are they today. Actually, the employment rate has been very good for the graduates of the lab, and I think it's because of the quality of training that they receive at the lab. So I think there are very few schools that can actually guarantee that they will find the employment after graduation, but we do try by all means to make sure that they connect them with agents and also with other theaters. And if possible, some of them actually do get work even at the market theater while they're still training as assistants, stage managers, and also in acting. Just make sure that by the time they leave the market theater laboratory, they've got the necessary skills. So we do actually try to help them. And even after they are born, we also always make sure that when it comes to auditions, they are aware of their auditions and they know what's happening. So there is some kind of a support system. But the other thing about a unit which is very small and in terms of its capacity, it's very limited. You don't have a person that actually sits down and traces what happened to all the graduates. But because of the nature of the market theater, almost all the graduates, they always come back and they always spend some time in the market theater precinct. And so we always actually keep track of who is doing what, and in the annual report we will say where are those people and what have they done since the last since they graduated from the market theater laboratory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
We have a saying in our language that the first one takes everything. We also get an advantage of the energy of the parents because they're sitting in the duty. But they tend to be spoiled children sometimes. But this is not wrong sometimes. You had enough time with kids. Mm-hmm. And to give you to listen to you. Will this interrogate you and come and visit the theater? And make sure that what we have claimed is sent to the truth. Thank you very much. When we call it on the main door.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Committee. Just a brief introduction on business in South Africa. As I said, my name is Kaji, I'm a non-executive director. Business in All South Africa is a not-for-profit organization incorporated in terms of Section 21 of the Companies Act. And our primary role is to try and promote funding from business of the arts in South Africa. And we're talking about all forms of art, performing arts, visual arts, the writing art, photography, the entire spectrum. And I'll ask our chief executive to just take you through our annual report. We didn't prepare a presentation. We're a very small organization. Nicola has three full-time assistants with us, so that's the entire organization of four people. The board is considerably bigger, but we're a volunteer board, so there's no fear of cost there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, honourable members. So it's probably most effective to take the annual report as read. It's fairly comprehensive. We try and give out as much information as possible, factual information, to the annual report. As Kiki has described, we're incorporated in Section 21 company. We comply with the Public Finance Management Act and obviously with, in terms of the Companies Act as well. Our mandate, which came from government, from the Department of Arts and Culture, is to promote mutually beneficial and sustainable business arts partnerships that will, over the longer term, benefit the broader community. Our vision then is to attract corporate sector support for the arts and culture, cultural activities, whether financial or in kind, and to profile of the arts and artists within South Africa. It remains a fairly challenging mandate in terms of accessing corporate sector support, and we've developed a variety of programs to try and achieve our intentions. Our board is, as you have listed in the annual report, for purposes of the meeting, Mrs. Mary Slack is your main chairman, Dr. Ivan May is deputy chairman, Mr. Richard Koch, Mr. Kwaneli Gumbi, Mr. Tiki Kaji, who's with us today, Mr. Lani Kingston, Ms. Winnie Kuneni, Mr. Mandalanga. Mr. Charles Mabasco resigned this year to take up a permanent position as Director of Arts and Culture for Kurumeni. Mr. Kenneth Marcus, Mr. Zakeli Marapule, Mr. Muna Mkwena, Mr. Reshni Mudia, Mr. Abi Musa, Ms. Gabriela Palacios-Flux, Mr. Richard Stain, and the department is represented at all of our three annual board meetings by Mr. Sidney Saletti or Mr. Francis Sedignoni standing in for him. We do have, as I said, three board meetings a year and one annual general meeting to ensure that we are fully compliant, and we have the requisite executive committee meetings on a 6 to 8 weekly basis, audit committee chaired by Mr. Kaji, human resources, and I think that encompasses the functionary side of FASA. As Ms. Kaji mentioned, all the boards serve on a voluntary basis and give us their time very generously. In terms of staff, we during the year in question, we had 3 full-time staff members. We do train as required in terms of addressing our mandate. This relates to upskilling. One individual is studying through UNISA in terms of marketing and communications, which is skills. We support that. Another one we've assisted with language skills and general office and clerical skills. There's no formal training program. We are completely responsive and receptive to the needs of all the employees. Those employees were Ms. Filofelo Stepi, who is a project administrator, Ms. Beverly Kipson, who is an administrative assistant, and Ms. Maureen Benya, who has been promoted to part-time clerical reception. We've recently hired a 4th person, Ms. Carol Mokwena, who now works very closely in training and development with particularly Ms. Benya. Excuse me. What we have tried to do, as I said, is to develop initiatives that will allow us to drive the concept of corporate support for arts and cultural activities in South Africa. Our initial program to do this has been called the BASA, Business and Arts South Africa Supporting Grant Scheme. And that is where the bulk of our funding goes. And if I can take a step back, with apologies, is that we are extremely grateful for the funding, the annual allocation of funds that we receive from the Department of Arts and Culture. This year we received, the year in question, we received 4.6 million rand. And we, through corporate membership, which currently stands at about 109 companies, at the time this report, 109 companies, we get just under 600,000 rand. In fact, it was 581,150 rand, up slightly on the previous year. With that money, we exercise our mandate. The primary program that we run is the supporting grant scheme that I mentioned. This is a facility to attract corporate sector funding to the arts. We make small grants, given the size of our budget, relatively small grants to add value or optimize benefits to a sponsoring business. What we're trying to do through this is to show a business that by engagement with the arts, they can address both strategic or commercial marketing communications objectives of their company and philanthropic corporate social investment objectives, and to shift the giving away from a charitable association. The arts have historically been seen as good cause or charity, and in the face of other pressing social needs, they run a very poor meter. So our intention is to shift them to mainstream them to state businesses, just as you might engage with sports, engage with arts and culture. We feel they have a far more profound impact on the lives of individual communities and ultimately on building civil society. It's a hard argument to make. We make it persistently and daily. What this annual report does not reflect is that every day we are out talking to business and talking to arts organizations, assisting them in developing an approach to business. That's our daily grind, if you will. During the year end of 31 March 2007, we made a smaller number of grants than in the previous year. I think it was down to 50 against 63 in the past year. But we made larger grants with more strategic value. We are looking to demonstrate to business that they can create impact, gain leverage, do whatever is necessary to secure the relationship with that arts organization so that they start to take a long-term view, not a year in and then we go away. I think the sort of cliche we've used is we're shifting funding of the arts from a handout to a handshake. It's founded on a solid business rationale. Total expenditure on grants during the period was 2.1 million, which leveraged 2 bars of full funding from Limpopo, Mpumalanga, and the Northern Cape, despite efforts, particularly I would say in Limpopo and the Northern Cape, to target local arts organizations. We will persevere and continue to pursue connections and encourage the local branches of national businesses, primarily banks, chain stores, to work with local arts organizations. In the Northern Cape in particular, one of the factors militating against support is both ignorance of what is happening in the area, lack of business. We must remember that we operate in response to or with the corporate sector. And also, interestingly, the lack of local or community media. We have subsequently met with one of our large corporate members in the mining industry and suggested they look at the introduction of community stations, which would lead to lasting benefits in the region. So our mandate is as broad as we choose to make it. We have many ideas that we put forward to business on a regular basis. With a further 2 million, approximately 2 million, engaged with our second stream of initiatives, which we refer to as special projects, which are on page 23 of your report. Total expenditure for the year in question ran at 1.2 million. And of particular interest here, we'd like to draw your attention to the Art Check, which is research that we conduct at 3-year intervals, looking into the attitudes and behavior of the adult South African market, the corporate sector and the media in relation to the arts. We commission a large research entity that regularly reviews sponsorship for the sports sector, and they therefore look at the arts completely coldly and present us with facts, not with opinions that are unfounded, which is useful for us. Anyway, since we started conducting the research in 2001, sponsorship spend on arts and culture has grown from 136 million to 304 million. That's a substantial area of growth. Average annual growth is 14.5%. Of this, approximately 148 million goes into music in all its forms and 156 million across all the other genres. About 61 million is spent on leveraging our sponsorship. By leveraging, I mean what a business is called to activate, to develop a PR campaign, a marketing campaign, to develop other legs to the project or program. While this is very positive, one must compare this to an estimated 2.6 billion spent on sports sponsorship, with a further 2.2 billion on leverage of that sports sponsorship. We have a long way to go. A major factor militating against greater spend in the arts is the perception by sponsoring companies that there is very little media value in the arts. That the electronic and print media do not afford the arts the same status that they afford sport. Research in the previous year also demonstrates this. What is interesting for Business Now South Africa is we've seen a significant shift in corporate budget usage. Monies are moving from marketing and communications budgets rather than corporate social investment budgets, which is indicative of a more rational, as I referred to earlier, commercial or strategic approach to art sponsorship. But social responsibility or community involvement remains a very important objective. So today we see 48% of sponsorship spend coming from marketing budgets, which is up from 28% in 2004, and 44% from corporate social investment, down from 57%. What is also a concern is that only 27% of sponsoring companies evaluate or measure their sponsorship. The reason this is so important is that there is therefore no way of them being able to value what they are doing against their particular objectives, and it means, as does happen within a business, when individuals move jobs, there is no argument to sustain the relationship. It's difficult for us. It's something that we try and encourage both arts organizations to do and, of course, the corporate sector. I've spoken about inadequate media coverage. The specific genres that showed a good growth in interest among consumers were, interestingly, arts festivals, movies, and contemporary dance, which is very, very interesting. In terms of music, there was growth in classical music, jazz, and rap and hip-hop. 77% of the adult South African market support the idea that companies should sponsor music, and 72% that they should sponsor arts festivals. This is up by 2%. Media were asked to give reasons why sponsors of art are not regularly mentioned, and their response was generally, and I'm quoting, sport is more important, there is more money in sport, art has a lower status, we do not give away free advertising or airtime. What is interesting in the media monitoring project research we did in the prior year, it was shown that the arts sections of newspapers in particular attract advertising, which is then used to cross-subsidize sports and general pages of the press. While it is absolute fact, it doesn't appear to suck any eyes to the editors, so we bug on, we try. A real shift, and this for us is very, very good news, is that from 60% of respondents in 2004 to 87% today believe that the arts should form part of the general news. And this is an argument that we have had repeatedly with the FACC and with ETV. ETV then did speak it up and have changed their lineup considerably. The Arts Track is a very useful vehicle both for the corporate sector and for arts organizations seeking funding, giving them information about the potential audience out there, giving them an indication of numbers of people who feel passionate about and who are likely to attend an event. Looking at other special projects, and the special projects are geared primarily towards addressing gaps or challenges, needs within the arts sector, both targeting business and the arts. Art Track, as I said, was a major one during the year in question. Another one that we've considered extremely important has been a series of fundraising seminars for arts organizations. We held two sessions during the year in question, targeting the major centers initially, and then we moved to slightly smaller towns and cities, such as Polokwane, Nelspruit. We had a very good response from arts organizations. However, I have to acknowledge that we did ask them to take, there is no use creating these forums and training sessions without the information being given being then applied, being used in practice in reality. we've had little feedback from arts organizations about whether or not they have used this information or indeed if it's successful or otherwise. In other words, we have a sense that we are trying to share information, but it's not being taken up as readily as it might. We have gone into partnership with Empowerdex around the issue of de-rating scorecards for arts and cultural organizations. This has been in discussion or in process, in fact, for about 16 months. We met with the agency to try and understand where the problem is. You probably know that the existing scorecards and ratings are not necessarily applicable to a not-for-profit arts or cultural organization. We have been making suggestions indicating the areas of activity that they should probably look at and review. We have also, with Empowerdex, discussed the potential to develop a board that one of the problems with many arts organizations is the difficulty in attracting people with the right skill set and across the right demographics onto their board. Working with Empowerdex, we have proposed, and they think it's a very good idea that they will implement, adding an area to the corporate scorecard which will allow a company to oblige its middle senior level black managers to serve on a voluntary basis on the boards of not-for-profit. And this is another way that we see ourselves helping business help the arts and helping the arts sector itself in terms of achieving ratings and an appropriate spread of involvement. The Barlow World Artwork Mentoring Program goes from strength to strength. Barlow World give us an annual amount to run this program to effectively pay for a coordinator. This is run through Business Now in South Africa. We've had extraordinarily positive take-up from the corporate sector, driven in a fairly slow basis, one-on-one. But the partnerships that have emerged have shown real benefit. To use an example, Rand Merchant Bank, an individual at Rand Merchant Bank, took on Ballet Theatre Africa and Sanlitun Ballet Theatre, and ultimately have encourage these organizations to restructure themselves very, very effectively, to look at potential revenue streams. National Children's Theatre is another one. Several Trust in Durban is another one, which works largely with people with disabilities. We're very keen to see more companies taking smart change, rolling out countrywide. Another special project we engage with is a concept called Room 13, which is an arts and entrepreneurial program that runs in senior primary schools. The minister has indicated that it's probably an ideal model for getting arts firmly onto the curriculum. Barbara has engaged with this and leveraged further support from some of his corporate members. We are in fact at the moment in negotiation with another major corporate foundation to get a further tranche of money through to this so that it can roll out into more schools in underserved areas. The schools that do have an existing Room 13 have had, in fact, for the past year, Sapabuso Primary School in Soweto and I think it's Mamulakora School in Bochabelo. And the latter school particularly has shown dramatic results in terms of the impact on young learners. The schools have been quite clever about this. The rooms are run and managed by the youngsters, for the youngsters. They have to identify potential revenue streams, they have to furnish, they have to source the art material. They've got to think of ways to build and grow and sustain the room. What has happened there in Bochabelo is they've had approaches from neighboring primary schools and now allow younger children access. It's been an extremely rewarding model, if you will, and as such, it's rolling out across the country more broadly as more money flows in. If I look at the corporate and media partnerships that Barbara has developed, we remain in partnership with Business Day through BESN in the Business Day Barbara Awards, and this year in question marks Barbara's 10th year, which was a very exciting anniversary for us countered many challenges to our mandate and to what we stood for, and it's through the support of the department and the corporate sector. Anglo-American have remained on board with us as a host sponsor for the Business J. Gardner Award. Follow World remains with us through the mentoring program. Denise Race, for some time, has been supporting arts organizations identified by Business and Arts South Africa that had queries, questions around issues of registration, employment, labor practices, etc. And they offered and continue to offer extensive pro bono advice, not only in Johannesburg, but in their offices all over the country and their associated offices. I've discussed the relationship with Impare. The Food Foundation supported us in the fundraising seminars, which we hope to roll out on a regular basis. What we would like to see more feedback. Pollard worked with Baza in the visual arts arena on a series of art exhibitions targeting mainly largely unknown young artists at their Arcadia gallery. KPMG worked with us consistently doing an annual risk assessment pro bono. We partnered with the Institute of Directors and are currently running a series of governance workshops for arts organizations, arts and cultural organizations, which is increasingly important in terms of the understanding of the relative roles and responsibilities of board and executives and issues around liability and responsibility. Weber Wenzel Burns continues to partner with us around the issue of tax and the absence of any concessions in the hands of donors who make donations to arts and culture. Smaller partnerships with Oka Media, who are still trying to develop a brand campaign for Business and Arts South Africa. We've been approached by Vega School of Branding and Communications going forward to target the corporate sector more directly around the issue of arts sponsorship and move that out countrywide. We have an ongoing relationship with Excel around the award. We also have a very exciting property, if you will, contract that we have gone into partnership with UNISA, UNISA Academics, and UNISA Press, City Press, and the SABC TBS broadcasters. We are awaiting confirmation of a corporate sector sponsor, apart from the consumer goods retailer. We're meeting with MSP. So there's a list of corporate sector partners that we've managed to leverage from after 10 years of having established our integrity and probity, and I think just keeping our nose down and focusing on what we can do in terms of our mandate. Media partnerships, our program on Classic FM is one of the sponsor elements that the new owner, Dr. Ivan Kuza, has elected to retain. We're very happy about that. We have an ongoing relationship with SAFM and with Summit Television, which is a business-to-business channel where we literally are focusing on art, business arts partnerships, how they work for business, why business should engage. And all of these are reviewed regularly by the board against the expenditure. And Madam Chair and Honourable Members, I think that covers very broadly our activities and the highlights of the previous year. And I would be happy to take any questions from you.
I don't know whether a member would like to listen to more questions than the radio. You don't have. So now I believe that the members of the radio have changed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got only one question for Baza, and I want to thank you very much for the presentation. I just want to know something here. That they say that their vision is to attract the corporate sector support for the arts and culture, whether financial or in kind, and to lift the profile of the arts and artists in South Africa. My question on that one what is their influence, certain institutions, on the promotion of the South African music, the play, the radio, on the television. Because we all know that the South African music has played frequently all American songs that we hear from our radio. So what is your influence as an institution? Thank you very much.
On the presentation on page 15, they spoke about the second question, that there is an interest. In the interim, there is a corporate public relations company that was appointed to drive membership in the region.
It doesn't work. Not working. This room has got a problem. Water feed we here last week as well. And it goes on and off all the time.
I was on the page 15 on vacancies, that the post of Cape Town regional representative remained vacant. But in the interim, there's the company appointed to drive membership in the region. For how long is this post going to remain vacant? Is there any program in place to deal with vacancies in the institution? Number two, Chair, I don't know what page is that. I just forget. So they talk about something like a jacket. What jacket?
The jacket required. Program or radio.
It's a project.
It's a radio.
The name of a project.
Program.
Or program.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. In terms of our vision, as you know, we look at the arts very, very broadly. The influence that Baza exerts on airtime South African music is simply in a collective with other organisations such as South African Music Rights Organisation, SAMRA, which really drives the process. We obviously, through our supporting grants and special projects scheme, support development in the sector where we can. So, for example, we were recently involved with Mashito, which is designed, and we funded access for, I think, five young people who set up their own little commercial or recording businesses themselves in order to attend the festival. I think in truth I have to say we would have minimal influence on needle time, air time. It's a negotiation that SAMRO would work through with the major producers and stations themselves. In terms of rural people, assisting working with rural people, we are really aware of the need to do this. We have, and it's not recorded here because it's, I wouldn't say it's ad hoc, we're quite strategic. We make interventions in terms of going to smaller villages and talking to local businesses where we have the connections and encouraging them to support business. We also have worked very closely, for example, in Limpopo, there was an organization called the Limpopo Business Champions, which was a grouping of businesses from the local Standard Bank, First National, the computer suppliers, etc., who all got together as a collective and supported independently of any other agency, functioning art, community art center in Polokwane. The landlord of the building that they occupied has pulled the building out from under them, and they are unable to get support from the province. And that initiative has collapsed. It's unfortunate. We try where we can to work, and I know that I'm using the word try a lot, through the series of fundraising seminars, through working with individual artists and art organizations. We are open to everybody. I am linguistically challenged in that I speak only English and French, but my staff members collectively speak Sotho, Tswana, Pedi, Zulu, and in fact the languages that we don't have anywhere particularly strong in is Afrikaans. But what I'm saying is we have the facility to talk to whoever comes in and needs assistance or to call people and work with them and work through them. We've also, the issue of tax concessions for giving to the arts, we think is particularly important vis-a-vis community or smaller rural arts organizations that will not necessarily attract sponsor funding. They're not in that they do not present an opportunity for a company to align it with a brand or anything else, but maybe an attractive concept, an attractive area for investment by a business or by an individual, and the idea that a business or an individual can get a little bit of a concession is a sweetener to encourage such spend, which otherwise would probably only be targeted at schools or hospitals or other pressing social priorities. So I think in total that's where we try and work with more far-flung communities.
We'll just add that I can quote one example in the street state where we were piloting this bar franchise system support for rural arts groups. Unfortunately for us, we, one of the groups that was being sponsored by the task force didn't keep their end of the bargain, so we have egg in our face as far as the sponsor was concerned. But the plan was if we could get that kind of project working far, we might have to start looking at it across the entire country. And then they have that representation in the rural areas that would have provided that kind of thing. So we've had a setback, but I think there will be other ones like that that we would try to work on. I think there's also, for example, the library project, which is one that we alluded to with the Unisa Press. We're looking at especially those areas where they don't have library services, that the local supermarket, particularly the large chain of supermarkets in this country, would be the local book depot, for example. So yes, there's also the funding aspects, there's also the other aspects of education and that sort of thing that we're trying to leverage off, or we're trying to leverage with our limited resources a lot more corporate support. So it's definitely an area of focus. We have mixed results, some years are good, some years are bad, but we continue to try.
On Honourable Member, in regards to the vacancy in Cape Town, this has been a fairly long gap. We felt it necessary. We have in the past had a regional representative in Port Elizabeth, in Eastern Cape, in Durban, and in Cape Town. The primary function of the representative is to try and build corporate membership. The intention of Business Now South Africa is to try and develop a situation where we can sustain ourselves in terms of our operations through our corporate membership fees. And the government monies can then be used effectively, more effectively, small amounts to implement various projects and programs throughout the country. What we did to that end was to appoint a professional PR company that has just won a major PRISA award to do this for us. Their term, their contract ended at the end of September. We have not renewed it. They operate on a point scoring system, so we in fact have not used up all our points. So we're now going to use the points available to us to promote the forthcoming Business Day Barger Awards. And we are looking at a new appointment of a regional representative in the Eastern Cape as well. We found it particularly difficult. It requires an individual who is comfortable both with the corporate sector and is knowledgeable about it.
When we talk about no secretaries in a year, we're referring to the secretaries required in terms of the Companies Act, the one who leaves with the company's registration office in terms of the paperwork. So no, we don't do that. We use the audit firm that works for us to do that. But we don't have too many changes. You know, once a year we have to submit an annual return and maybe the changes in directives. But it's not a. It probably takes an hour a year to do that. It's not a job as such. One question in terms of the question about no jacket required. Is gentleman comfortable what the program is, because we didn't answer the question directly. But it's in fact a radio program on Classic FM that covers classic music and the role of art level.
Actually, if I could enlarge on that, in response to your initial question, we've insisted as part of that program that they must play music composed and performed by indigenous composers, classical music composers. So it's added to their playlist. So again, with those small things, we try and make a difference.
Just out of your presentation, but partly. I was trying to discuss this issue of leaving our elderly as in the normal, and that the ones who are rich in cultural activities. Is there any possibility where you can introduce something which is related to our agent? To revive their spirit, because I mean, they actually are left behind in everything. We just need them whenever. But to be more active, I was really thinking of that thing, that how can it be to promote the or have a structure which is really focusing on our ages? Because even when they're in the old age homes, if it happens that there is nothing to entertain them, they are not the participants, they are always entertained. But at least to revive their spirit, that they're not forgotten. I think it's much better if you can have that thing and still again fund the organization, that sort of a project, and focus on that. The guys who the happy people really, that they should be really respected them and recognize them, their existence. Thank you. Not that I'm going there, it's not that I'm just.
Madam Chair, thank you. If I can respond, where I fully support what you're saying, and where possible, we encourage corporate sponsors of arts programs or events to add value to their own initiatives by taking elements or, in fact, entire performances to either children's homes with which the business has a relationship or old age homes. And in fact, I had a meeting with people from the Origins Centre recently, and they were talking, and I don't know if they listened to me, but this was my suggestion to them. They were discussing, they have to set up a corporate social investment fund, and they were looking at various avenues. And I said, you are about origins, invest in the elderly, because they are everybody's origins. And so wherever we can, it is not a strategic objective of ours, but it's certainly something that I'm very aware of. They are very, very effective.
Thank you very much. I think in the absence of any follow-up, it means that the honorable members are satisfied and we are also satisfied. And I think when we call you again, you can submit whatever you have. Whatever development you can see, this must be taken to the committee, take to ours, and then give us information about the presentation. I think this brings us to the end of our presentation, and our listening skills will put in the field. I think this is the logistics which Mr. Chair has to tell us.
Thank you, Chen. There are two invitations that have gone into the chat testing. One is the signing of program of cooperation with teachers. And the other invitation came from Natal Museum. They have they are going to have opening of a display at the museum. And the our lunch is already there at the back. Because I thought we were going to finish by 11 o'clock.
Thank you.
The first one will be on the 1st of November, and the other one is on the 6th of November.
I think our honorable visitors can be really enjoying the vibes and the members, but still on that note, the whole of next year won't be around. It's a family issue.
To announce that next week on Monday and Tuesday, the chapter team and the Oberman, Mr. Mbombo, and Mr. Lefletcher will be attending the Tanzan event.
Thank you.